It was a strange, sultry summer, the summer of the subway pricker. But Brooke Orr had decided not to let that interfere with the business of life in New York. She and everyone in the city carried on, ignoring the debilitating heat and the lunatic at large who was jabbing unsuspecting commuters with a hypodermic. The Post had dubbed this man, well, it must have been a man, the strap hanger sicko. That moniker wasn't the one WNYC used. They spoke to an expert on air who speculated that this man derived some sublimated sexual thrill at poking into strange women. A layperson could have figured that out. There were three victims thus far. But a prick was an innocent violence, a timid violation, nothing much. Life must go on. Errands to run, places to be, jobs to be done. So, Brooke was, where else, on the subway. You'd have known it was Monday. Some sobriety in the air, some frankness in the light. There was a feeling of beginning. A man in a shapeless suit and too wide tie frowned at his cell phone. A woman, all pointy joints and neck, leaned with idiosyncratic grace over the edge of the platform, yearning to catch the light of an approaching six. Recalling a flower contorting for sun. A skinny boy in glasses wore an NYU t-shirt. A gaunt and bedraggled person was likely homeless, but might have been one of the last of the bohemians, a cohort supplanted by co-eds and millionaires. At the top of the stairs, a girl in a blue smock handed a free tabloid to anyone willing to take it. Inside the station, a few sweating New Yorkers pointlessly fanned themselves with its insubstantial pages. Brooke could feel the damp at the back of her neck coalescing into a drop, which would eventually descend at its geologic pace over her spine's uppermost moraine. She was aware of the musk of her body beneath the many remedies used to disguise that smell. She had that specific twinge at the temples that only caffeine would mollify. No matter. The train's conditioned air would dry the sweat. Her deodorant, scented of thyme, would do its work. And there was time. She always left a cushion to procure an iced coffee before walking the blocks crosstown to the offices of the Asher and Carol Jaffe Foundation. The train arrived with a clatter that could damage the human ear. Its silver carriage might once have seemed optimistic, though now it was dingy and pockmarked. The open doors were accompanied by an unintelligible announcement, but most riders did this by rote. The same station at the same hour, sometimes even served by the same conductor with his signature pitter-patter. The forecast, or a thank you for riding with the MTA, or a general wish for good cheer as the train scooted along its merry way. The seats were citrus-colored, the floor warped with bubbles. You had to choose to find it charming. The crowd would overwhelm at the next station, but for now, plenty of seats. As the train moved, it was sometimes possible for Brooke to catch her reflection in the window opposite, and she took the opportunity for appraisal. Skin dewy, teeth clean, hair tidy, jewelry simple, shirt and blazer spotless. The normal workday considerations, the more important, as this was a significant one. Today, Brooke would meet Asher Jaffe, the big boss, the man in whose name she worked, the deity for whom she and her colleagues were intermediaries in the exalted task of giving away his earthly fortune. First impressions mattered.